Welcome to the Fantasy Golf Insider Podcast. I'm Jeff Bergerson, joined by my partner, Zachary Turcotte.
How's it going, my friend?
It's going very well. I had a nice little break last week, so I missed being on, but ready to get back at it this week. Be sure to check us out. We're at fantasygolfinsider.com. All of the information you need for research, for your DFS, for your golf betting, you name it, we have it on the site. I will also mention, since we're now into exhibition games for the NFL, footballinsideredge.com. Updated prop bets today. I got those loaded, so we're locked and ready to go. Lock in those preseason player props for the year. We've had an outstanding record through the years, so be sure to check that out. I also have my draft guide up there. Draft's coming up. I'm probably at about 100 best balls now, Zachary. What do you think of that?
Nice. It's aggressive. And you still have about 4 weeks to go before the regular season starts. So
I find it very entertaining to watch the guy's average draft position plummet or skyrocket just on the slightest bit of news.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, like this whole month was crazy.
I was avoiding Ricky Pearsall on all of my best balls. So when he's out,
yeah,
then all of a sudden that elevates other guys on the Niners, right? So those guys, ADP just skyrockets. But
yeah, you have to watch that the injury news pretty closely. I think who was it that I saw, the Bears, Luther Burden, I think had like a groin injury or something that is going to keep him out. They think they're hoping he'll be back by the start of the regular season, I think is what I saw. But yeah, I mean, right away you see that and you're like, oh, yep. Roma Dunze.
Yep.
Shoots way up now.
Exactly.
So Loveland shoots way up, you know.
Yep.
So it's it is one of those things where you really got to be tuned in to all the daily news writers, all the beat writers, and well, I mean, you could just follow Adam Schefter and he's gonna have almost all of the major injury information
there. Just like coach quotes, they the Chargers quoted today, it's gonna be a hot hand type of rotation in their backfield this year. So all of a sudden I got Omarion Hampton in the third round, whereas he's been going in the second round previously. So
the hot hand, boy,
yeah.
that is a slap in the face to fantasy owners for sure.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So I guess, it's going to be Hampton and then Kamani Vidal. Is that?
Yeah. And they picked up, what's his face from Baltimore?
Oh, that's right. The Mitchell, right?
Yeah. But he's always just seemed to me like a third down kind of scat back type of guy. So
right, yeah. He's never been a first and second down guy. He's like kind of a gadget pass guy,
yep.
Catches passes, third down sort of stuff.
He's not going to be the guy. I think it's just a bunch of BS, but it's going to allow me to get load up on Hampton at a good price for now.
Yeah, it's It is fun. Yeah, there's definitely an edge for the guys who are all the way locked in from the beginning of training camp all the way to the end, because there's so many casuals out there who are just building teams. And I'm sure you've probably already seen within those best balls, you usually get a few immediate head scratchers right away when you're looking at it.
Yeah.
People who are picking guys way out of order because they like certain guys better than others. And yeah, we always hear about that within the Slack chat each year, some of the interesting picks and plays that happen along the way. So
let's get back to golf. We'll certainly get into this week's event from TPC Southwind, the first round of the FedEx Cup playoffs. But first, let's briefly talk about last week at Sedgefield. Kind of the I put in my article, the theme of the week was the youth movement. How we saw, you know, Koivin win and then Thor Bjornsson win. And I said, this isn't going to stop this week. So I went heavy on Mike Brennan, hit an outright on him. But
yes,
also guys like Davis, you know, Thompson, Ben James also were big.
Yep.
So those kind of events, and we talk about it every year, you know.
Yeah, these late season, yep, summer and fall ones are where these future stars show up.
Yep.
And you get a chance to lock them in before they – I mean, Koivin is already at, you know, the second highest priced golfer last week. But, yeah, you still had a guy like Ben James sitting down there in the
low sevens.
7K range.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, it was it was pretty easy to add him in. And if had it not been for one really terrible round on Saturday, he played fantastic on Sunday. So it was really just the one bad round that kind of cost him. But yeah, Brennan was out there. And yeah, I feel like that's one of the areas where we've been really strong is in recognizing when each season the trends kind of change. Because you really do get specific little parts of each season that play so much differently than the rest. And so every year when we get to this summer and you start to have the off events, you know, to the majors and things, and then you get these easier fields, easier courses, and that leads all the way into the fall, and the elite players kind of drift away, and then the younger guys are coming along to try to make a name. And it just year in and year out, we see these guys come up, and a lot of times now they win pretty quickly. So you have to be ready to go when you can still get them at a cheap price or at long odds. So was disappointed because I think just about all of us had Ben James for an outright list last week. So it would have been fun for him to hit. But I think what did you end up hitting Brennan on? Was it like 50-1?
45.
Oh, that's not bad. Yep. That's a good number.
Yep. Yep. So, well, we move on to this week. Like I said, first round of the playoffs, top 70 guys in the field. Next week, we'll cut down to 50 to go to the BMW. And then the following week, Eastlake, which will be the top 30. TPC Southwind is the host, 7,288 yards. It plays as a par 70. So when you factor in par, it's not all that short. Fairways are about average in width. But as we've seen the last couple of years, the rough can be difficult. So I put extra emphasis on driving accuracy this week, which is very similar to what I did last week at Sedgefield. And that's why I use Sedgefield as a comp course. And it's guys who are accurate off the tee. And also the approach game is huge here at TPC Southwind. I was out there in 2021. Since then, the rough seems to be playing longer than when I was there because it wasn't that bad when I was there. But they've changed it. So I'm stressing accuracy off the tee. Of course, we have Bermuda greens this week. Average size of the greens is 4,500 square feet, which is among some of the smallest on tour. That's why I use like Harbortown as a comp course. What's another small green? Pebble is another small green place. But that's about all I have on the course. What are you using for comps on it?
I've got a lot of the courses from the Southeast as well as, you know, a couple of the par 70. So I got Harbortown, Innisbrook, PGA National, Wylie, Sedgefield, TPC Sawgrass, Scottsdale, and Eastlake for my courses. It's also... Well, taking a look at the weather this week, it is going to be blisteringly hot.
That's what I remember from 2021.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's always hot. It looks especially hot. It's going to be up over 100 in the afternoon each day. It looks like on Friday afternoon, actually, it looks like it's going to get up to 105 degrees at 4 p.m. On nice. Saturday, it's going to get up to 107, and on Sunday, it is going to be up at 107. So, I don't know that anybody can truly prepare for that, and it's going to just be humid too. I mean, it's going to be awful. I just absolutely cannot even imagine wanting to attend that event and be walking the course in any sort of capacity, because even from late morning, it looks like it's going to be in like the mid 90s, which is just brutal. I don't see any storms at this point. So I do see a little bit partly cloudy Thursday, mostly sunshine for Friday, what I see so far. Winds maybe.
You know, this kind of weather, though, that they pop up in like a moment's notice. We saw that last week at Sedgefield.
No, yeah, you don't see it out and bang.
In Florida where I was, I mean, the storms literally – it can be not a cloud in the sky, and like 10 minutes later, they're like shutting things down because storm is coming in. It just blows through. So it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild. But I mean, what's going to be tough this week? I think precision approach play, like proximity, is going to be huge this week.
Yep.
You know, these small greens, and the greens are just going to be. I'm sure that the groundskeepers will be. They're cognizant of what's happening. I'm sure they'll be trying to put as much moisture into them as possible. At the end of the day, but you know, 105, 170, I mean, those things are going to be baked out. So there's going to be, they should be playing pretty fast, I would think, by late afternoon for each round. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. And that is part of the reason why I do favor players typically who are from this region a little bit more, is because they grew up in this, they've played in this for most of their lives. I mean, nobody is ever truly comfortable there, but you know, kids from Georgia or kids from Florida or Alabama or whatnot, it's certainly not going to be quite as much of an issue for them as opposed to, you know, maybe somebody from some of the folks from the north, or you know, even from like California or things like that. So a small thing to consider.
Let's take a look at the pricing on DraftKings. Rory's here this year. He wasn't here last year. So he's ready to play golf now, I guess.
Yeah, he's been really active these last few months.
We got Scotty at $13,500. So still an elevated price, not in the 14s now, but still elevated, $2,000 more than Rory, who's at $11,500. Then Tommy at 10,200, Xander 10,000, Matthew Fitzpatrick at 9,900. That's a kind of our top tier, I would say.
Yeah.
Are you going stars and scrubs with this type of event?
I don't necessarily think so. Scotty, you haven't made a full decision on 13.5. I guess at least the price came down a little bit, and it's a no cut event, which is great. But that still gets to be pretty pricey. You know, it gives you, what does it give you? 7,300 for the remaining five guys on your roster. And then you can definitely do it. It's not that tough. I guess for me, I like the middle nines quite a bit. And even some of the upper eights, I feel like I'd rather try to get three really premium players on my team instead of just going with Scotty. So I think that's going to kind of be my strategy. And I think there still probably will be a ton of Scotty ownership, but you know, you look at him historically, he's at eight shots here the last 2 years, fourth and third. So, you know, you look at his entire season, it's filled with second, third, fourth place finishes. So he's likely to be right there. I guess I would rather just save those funds and drop down and grab somebody like Tommy or like Hideki, somewhere down in that range to start my team, instead of paying up for Scotty and then having to drop into the, you know, low sevens or upper sixes for my next two or three players and having to build back up. So it doesn't look likely that I'll be in on Scotty. Are you going to be using him in your core?
No. No, yeah, I'm not going to own him. I'm not going to own Rory, and I probably won't even own Tommy.
Okay.
I like Fitzpatrick quite a bit at 9,900. This is a really nice course for him. He hasn't been great here the last few years, which is bizarre because he started his career here very good.
Yeah.
Had three out of four top sixes to start, but you know, he's won at Comp Course Harbortown. He's won at Copperhead. So he has that. He's accurate off the tee, good in the approach game, and puts the lights out on Bermuda. So kind of has it all this week.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think Burns is probably my favorite play in that range. He's got a couple of top five finishes here, but I just like what he's been doing in the back half of the season.
Yeah.
Obviously disappointing not to get a major. That seems to be kind of a regular theme for him at this point of his career, but still playing exceptionally good golf. You know, you just look at his rolling stats are pretty exceptional. Fifth in terms of strokes gained tee to green and third in terms of strokes gained total over the last 16 rounds. And he's somebody too who, if I remember right, let me pull it up. I'm pretty sure he's positive on the splits for Bermuda. Yes, he is, by about 0.2 strokes per round. Most of his wins, if I remember right, as well, have come on Bermuda greens. A couple of them actually on comp courses, right? Innisbrook, I think, is where he has a couple of different career wins. So. So yeah, Burns is definitely somebody who's in play. I mentioned Tommy before at 10-2. He's played. He hasn't really been in true contention, but he's been playing pretty solid golf for much of the last 3 months or so. So I feel like it's kind of like last year. It's only a matter of time before he finally has that moment where he is back in play again, and he's back in the playoffs where he did finally get that breakthrough win last year. Couple of top threes in the last 2 years. So I like Tommy quite a bit there. And then Hideki, I think, is a fantastic value at 9,000. I'm a little surprised that his price wasn't higher.
Yeah.
Considering the way he's played, 3 straight top 10 finishes. I wrote about him in my column last week.
Yeah,
at the beginning of the season, he couldn't hit the ball straight to save his life, was just awful off the tee. And that has completely turned over the last few months or so. So we went from being like negative a half a stroke or so off the tee at the start of the season, now to the point where he is gaining significantly off the tee. So that part of his game seems to be completely back in play. Yeah.
And that's the value of our rolling stats tool, because if you look at where he ranks in driving accuracy over the course of the year, he's not even in the top 40. But if you look at his last 16 rounds, he's 6th in this field in driving accuracy. So that really says it all.
Absolutely locked in. He's looked really good over the last few weeks. I mean, coming out of a good finish overseas and then 3 straight top 10s and some easier fields there, but getting a good finish at a comp course last week, I like. And he's a former winner. He won this event a couple of years ago. He had a runner-up back in 2021. So definitely a course that he's been great at. I think Hideki is probably my favorite value among the
top. And one final thing is he's putting well.
Yes, yes.
that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, he's 12th in the field in strokes gained putting over the last 16 rounds, which anytime you're getting Hideki gaining a half a stroke per round, just get in on him and ride it as long as it lasts. Because, it won't be forever, but when he does hit these moments, he can go through months and months at a time where he's in contention for, a lot of different events. So, I like that one a lot. Maybe a little bit of Morikawa at 9,300. He's quietly had a pretty good season, although I kind of expected more from the middle, but it hasn't been quite as great. But it's a spot where he's always been pretty good throughout his career. His iron play has been super sharp, so I think he's somebody at 9,300, probably a decent shot for GPP. And then you get down in the 8K range. I think there's quite a few intriguing plays for me once we drop into the eights.
Yeah, for sure. I like Cantlay here. Yep. This has been a good spot for him. I like Siwoo. I like Russell Henley in that range. All three of them, bang, bang, bang. And you can just load up a kind of a balanced roster with all three of those guys if you like.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at a guy like Henley, everything you've kind of talked about so far, he's accurate off the tee every year. He's got great comp course numbers too. 86 comp course starts. He's gained over a stroke per round. So that's super strong. Really good on Bermuda greens. Really good in terms of throughout his career, maybe not as much this season, but throughout his career, very good as far as short to mid-range approach play. Very good proximity numbers there. He's had a couple of top 10s here, and he's had a great season. He has a win, a number of other top 25s. So, yeah, I like him. Interesting here, as we get down into the low 8K range, I feel like Justin Thomas is a fantastic buy at 8,100.
Yeah.
A little surprised that Koivun came in at 8,200 and JT at 8,100. That's crazy how fast that has happened. And I mean, Koivun's been fine. He had the win a few weeks ago, which was at the 3M, but just okay, 31st and 29th in the follow-ups. But, I mean, JT has actually been really good throughout most of the last 3 to 4 months or so, I would say. Hasn't really been in contention, but a lot of top 20 finishes. And the only two events that really stand out as being, you know, a little bit on the downside were was when he went overseas to, you know, Scotland and to the Open. But beyond that, the U.S. finishes have been pretty outstanding for the most part. So, yeah, after once he came back from his injury and kind of shook the rust off a little bit, he's been great. So 8,100, that feels like a screaming value to me there. What about a guy? I mean, what about a guy like Victor Hovland, somebody that you're usually on? He was a huge disappointment at the Open, a little up and down here, a little up and down most of the season, but kind of a sneaky play with definitely a lot of upside.
Yeah, he's been really good in the approach game recently, and he has been accurate off the tee too. Let me just pull up driving accuracy over the last 16 rounds. Yep, 15th in driving accuracy. So, yeah, I think he's a reasonable play. He has finished runner-up here a couple of years ago. That was easily his best finish.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think he's ownable there. Him, JT, and Tom Kim at 7,900 looks like a pretty decent buy as well. I'm surprised he hasn't played better here in his career. Yeah. But he's been he red hot.
Yeah, 2024 wasn't a great year for him. So, but yeah, I think I can overlook that considering just how insanely good his irons have been his last six starts or so. I mean, he's hitting it the same way that he did in 2022 when he came on and had instant stardom on tour. You skipped over Justin Rose there, champ.
Yeah,
he's been one who's been a little bit boom or bust for much of the year. He obviously had the huge win early in the season.
He's been on holiday. I saw pictures of him hanging out vacationing. I'm like, nah.
Yeah, he's only played in the Open is the only event he's played in over the last six weeks.
He said he was going to pull his clubs back out of the closet or something last week. So,
which I hate.
Like, I hate it.
This shows you how little the playoffs actually mean to these guys. The playoffs are here. I'll just take the next couple of weeks off and rest and relax.
It's a month.
Yeah, and he missed the cut there. He missed the cut at the Open too. So he's only played two rounds in the last 6 weeks. So
right.
I guess I don't love that.
No.
Do you see any bounce back potential here for a couple of these guys? I've written up Ben Griffin the last 2 weeks now.
Fuck that guy. Oh, my God.
And, he was...
He shit all over me last week.
Yeah, both of the last couple of weeks. Just
terrible.
Completely caved in. He wasn't in my main lineup, but he had been really good. Like, the thing that's killing me is he had been really good all the way up to the Open.
Yeah.
I did not expect him to... But play that well in going overseas, but now the last two starts, at events where he should be pretty good,
I know
he's been shaky to not so good. So
last week I thought he was going to play Sedgefield well.
Right, that would have been I thought it was the easiest bounce back ever. I think he only missed. He missed right on the number. Right, he was -2, so he wasn't.
Well, and he started out. He was -3 through his first 9 holes of the week.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he then was just cruising. In stall mode.
Yeah, it was rough. And I have to, you know what? Before we move, I have to digress because now that I'm thinking about players who missed the cut, who really upset me last week. I'm not sure if you played any Mac Meisner or not. Unbelievable, dude! Unbelievable.
Yeah,
-4 going into the last hole. You need just a bogey. To move on to the weekend to keep your playoff life alive. Just unbelievable. And he manages
it is crazy.
Double bogey on the last hole. Oh, it was awful. I couldn't believe I thought, okay, cool. Looks like I'll have a 5-6 team. I'll be in the running in some of my leagues finally. And I look back, I'm like, whoa, how did I only have 4 of 6? Meisner missed. Thank God I wasn't watching it closely on Shot Tracker. It would have been even worse. But man, what a way to end your season there, to double bogey on the hole, kill any sort of playoff chance that you have, and ruin a lot of fantasy lineups. So yeah, that was, you know, I digress. But yeah. Let's, back to the middle 7K range.
This is where it starts getting tough. I mean, that's kind of my reasoning for building a lot of balanced lineups, because when you get down to this low 7K range,
I know,
a lot of question marks here. And I'll throw out a couple to you. Alex Noren is a huge question mark all the time.
I know.
Basically a coin flip. I mean, he has been really good in some events lately and been just terrible at other events.
Yeah, and he's been a mixed bag here. 12th withdraw, 30th. Yeah, you don't know where he's gonna be. Yeah, I think maybe you look at this 7,500. Ricky Fowler, I think, is in play.
Yeah,
three straight top 20 finishes there. You know, at 7,500, it's not a bad price for a guy whose tee to green numbers are looking pretty good. You know, Michael Brennan has been good. I think he could be a little boom or bust here. We'll see. This is, you know, at least a somewhat similar style course to what we've seen. But he's been up and down throughout the season, so I guess I wouldn't be completely dependent on him there. But yeah, you get down into this area, I feel like you're going to end up having to take some chances.
I'll own some Akshay down here. He has not been good the last couple of times out, but he's just a high ceiling type of guy, super talented. So at this price,
it works well. It works well in a no cut event, you know, because you pay 7,300 for him. You're hoping for the upside there. Yeah, there's a chance that he might finish like T50 or something, but you know, down here, you want to at least have a guy who does have some potential to be up there a little bit higher. So I don't mind that. You know, Jacob Bridgman has been okay of late. Nothing like super memorable. Nothing like super awful. He had kind of a bumpy spot there, sort of midway through after he got his win for a few weeks. Hasn't really been in contention. Hasn't really been out of it. Finished 17th here a year ago. I guess I don't mind that price. I'm a sucker for Adam Scott. 7,000. He's been pretty good here over the years. Has
great in the approach game.
Yeah. And he hasn't. He has let me down a couple times this season. I mean, he certainly has had events where he has fallen, you know, near straight to the bottom. But it's a good price. Like it's a nice price for him there at 7K, because the 6K range starts to get pretty challenging for me. I think you could probably do a little bit of Aaron Rye there at 6,800. Talked about his accuracy, his approach game. I think that's definitely something to look at.
Yeah,
I played Sungjae this last week and it worked out okay.
Yeah,
6,700. He's had, you know, three top 20s in his last four starts here. I wouldn't say his game is fixed at this point. The irons are not been unbelievable, but the rest of his game is serviceable. His short game is actually really good. So I think he is somebody that I would look at.
Yeah, you know, even though, I mean, he has three out of four good finishes, but his irons and his tee to green game has been atrocious, even through that period of time.
Yeah.
He's just doing it with the putter. That's crazy.
Yeah, mostly, I mean, off the tee, he's been okay. He's 20th in this field over the last 16 rounds. But, yeah, around the green and putting pretty good for that. Right. So I'm hoping that that's something that can kind of carry him. The rest of this range gets really tricky.
You know, this is like a Corey Connors perfect course, but he's never done a damn thing here.
He's got one good finish in like eight starts or something like
that. He's weird. You know, some of these places you think he'd be great because he's accurate off the tee, elite approach game, super good in a proximity, and he's just not.
Yeah.
But he's 6,700. So, I mean, probably have to buy some shares.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. And his game has been in pretty good shape lately. I mean, if you look at his last, what, six starts or so, he's got four top 25s there. So you're hoping, you're hoping he's not T50 or something terrible. Or at least if he is, then he's making a handful of birdies here and there. But it feels like it. He's at least serviceable for that price,
right?
Yep. So I wouldn't mind that. Other
Jordan
names,
Smith, right?
Yeah, his game's been good of late. Yep. He's a first timer here, but playing pretty well over his last five starts or so. Maybe a little Bud Colley at 6,500. Below that, I there's not really a lot that I'm in love with down here.
I dabbled on Sepp Straka last week and that didn't work.
He's broken.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's that definitely, and he goes through ruts like that. I mean, he'll get every part of his game on rolling stats. He's 68th in strokes gained tee to green. He is 68th in strokes gained total over the last 16 rounds. I mean, that is rough. And typically this would be a good course for him. You know, he's a guy who played in the Southeast in college. He's had wins down in that part of the country over the years. And he finished second here in 2022. But yeah, there's been nothing good in his game over the last few months. So I'm not going to try to time that and hope that he somehow wakes up this week.
Anything else down in this range? I mean, I don't think I can own anyone below 6,300. I think
none of these guys. I mean, Castillo's been making cuts, but this isn't a course where this is an event where you care about cut making. Shooter Sean has been done for a while. Aldrick has been garbage for a while. McCarty, this hasn't been the area of the schedule where he has shined. Yeah, Stevens is not good. Schmidt, you know, Pearson Cootie has fallen off quite a bit. And he withdrew last week.
I think he's hurt again. I think he's suffering from some injuries. He didn't look good at 3M.
It's been rough. So yeah, Patrick Rogers has not looked good. He had a withdrawal a couple weeks ago and then a missed cut last week. So yeah, Rio is somebody who I liked for most of the season as a cut maker. And then he missed the first cut of the year and he missed the last cut of the season.
Yep.
So that was pretty amusing. And I don't care anymore. 6,300. We don't care about cut making going forward. So you can pretty much scrub him. He didn't have a ton of finishes where he was in contention over the back half of the season. So, no, yeah, I think that's about it. That's why I don't think you want to dabble too much. You don't have a huge range of guys down here that you're really that excited about to pair with Scotty. So if you do end up owning a lot of Scotty shares, you're going to have to own two or three of these guys down here in order to kind of balance it out to give you extra funds to at least reach up into the upper end of the 7K range or low 8K range for your other players.
That's all I got. You got anything else to add?
Nope. Down to 50 next week and then on to the championship and then it's football season. So we're
absolutely
going fast.
All right. If you want to hit us up, do that. You can join the Slack chat on the website or hit us up on X or email. You name it. If you have any questions, we can help you out. So with that, we will leave you this week with the FedEx St. Jude, and we'll be talking to you next week for the BMW.
Good luck.